Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Romans were very good at crucifixion. They were really good at killing people, but they excelled at crucifixion. In fact, when Jesus was crucified, it's estimated that Romans had been doing this for about 500 years. And they, don't get me wrong, they didn't invent it. Carthaginians and others had it long before them. Romans perfected it. And they actually did do it a lot of different ways. They did do it with nails, they did do it with ropes, they did do it just with a pole. They saw even just impaling somebody as crucifixion. But I won't get into all those sort of gory details. I do find, though, when I'm talking to teenage boys, they really like getting into all the gory details, but we're a different audience, aren't we? So, crucifixion is something that had been going on for a long time. And in fact, even in Israel, in Jerusalem, it had been going on for a long time since the Romans had come in. This is how the Romans put down unrest. The purpose of crucifixion was several. One of the some of the main aims of it, and this comes from Roman and Greek historians that talked about this, humiliation. Contrary to what our artwork tends to show us and TV shows, etc., people were stripped naked and hung up on a cross. That was part of that humiliation. You're out there for the world to see, you in your nakedness. It was shame. In most cultures, you kept your privates covered, didn't you? So, as we still do. It was agony. This was a painful way to die. You normally died of suffocation. But it depended on how strong you were. The stronger you are, the longer the death took. And it wasn't uncommon for people to last several days of agonizing death out in the public. And because of this, it was also seen as a deterrent. You be good, you follow the Romans' ways, or this will be you next. It's actually quite an effective way to keep a population under control. No one wants to go out that way with all the baggage that is associated with it. It was so horrible that no Roman citizen was allowed to be executed by crucifixion. Makes it attractive to be a Roman citizen, doesn't it? But for the average Jewish man and woman, they were not Roman citizens. There were some. Paul's one, we find out later on. But they could all face that. When places were conquered and Roman rule was set up, this was the way that they kept control. Recently I was hearing one academic arguing that another thing that they were trying to do with crucifixion, and this was one of the reasons Roman citizens couldn't be crucified, was to wipe that person from history. Because of the shame, because of the humiliation, because of everything that's gone before, people did not want to remember that person. And it is as though that person then never existed. I thought that was a bit of an interesting statement. So I did do a bit of research for that. Now, if you remember that Romans had been crucifying people for 500 years, and they were really good at it, and dare I say, enjoyed doing it at times, surely there would be heaps of people listed who had been crucified. You know, the names of people who had been crucified. And I looked. And history is amazingly silent. Yes, if you ask for names of people who've been crucified, you will get heaps. But do you know what all these people have in common? They're all after Jesus. They're all followers of Jesus. Before Jesus, try and find someone who was crucified. Now, some of us who are older remember the good old Kirk Douglas movie of Spartacus. And because that ends with Spartacus being crucified, many point out, oh no, that's wrong. Spartacus was crucified. No, that's just in the movie. If you actually read the historians, it is debatable of whether Spartacus died in the battle and his body was never found, though there were some reports that he escaped, defeated, and humiliated, never to be heard of again. Yes, thousands of his followers, and I'm saying thousands, were crucified. And the whole point of these slaves being crucified is that we don't know the name of a single one of them. It was told, wipe them off the map. I did find reference to one or two kings and others who had been crucified. Most of them were hundreds of years before Jesus. And for each one, historians argued whether that had really happened. So the one or two names I was able to find, admittedly I only did a couple of hours looking at this, but the one or two I were able to find were all skeptical ones, you know, may not have happened. But with Jesus, did Jesus get wiped off of history? No. And as I said, following him, Christians who got crucified were remembered. Jesus was remembered. But why this way? Why this way? Back in Deuteronomy, back in the first five books, it says in Deuteronomy, if a man has committed a crime punishable by death and he is put to death and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. What this is talking about back here in Deuteronomy, it's not talking about killing someone. So it's technically not talking about crucifixion. It's talking about when you have killed someone. You know, you're fighting a Canaanite town that is resisting, and you kill the king, or you kill the general, or whatever. The common way back then, and sadly this is still not uncommon, was you would then take the body and display it. Yeah, you'd hang it up there. And what God is saying here through Moses is that if that happens, it's not to go on for overnight. It's not to stay there until it's all rotted away. Because someone hanging from a tree is cursed by God. And if you leave that person up there, then the land is cursed by God. We don't want that. This is God's land. So this is what was given to Israel back then. But by the time we come up to the New Testament times, the Jewish people saw that the way that the Romans killed by crucifixion applied to this. That by being hung on a tree, hung on a cross, not only did you have all that baggage that I was talking about, all the things that Rome was trying to do in crucifying you, the Jewish people saw that by hanging on a cross you were cursed by God. And you can see here in Galatians that Paul himself saw it that way. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. He quotes that Deuteronomy passage. Why? Why this sort of death? Why did Jesus suffer this way? Why, given how horrible this death is, do we call today Good Friday? Paul points out here in 2 Corinthians that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, in his death, quite literally took on the sins of the world. He took your sin, he took my sin, he took everybody's sin, past, present, and future, all lumped on him. And we see on the cross the punishment that is owed for that sin. That is why it's so horrific. I deserve humiliation. I deserve agony. I deserve shame. I deserve to be forgotten from history for all that I have done against my Lord God. My sin is deserving of everything that Jesus went through. My sin separates me from God. My sin means I'm deserving of a curse from God. Yet Jesus is put in my place. And this is God's plan all along. This is what it means in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is how much God adores us, that he becomes one of us and he receives all that punishment that we deserve. That is one of the reasons this is called Good Friday, for what is happening on the cross. This is why in John's Gospel it is strongly emphasized that on the cross Jesus is exalted. It is when he's on the cross that he wins. That's where he defeats sin, death, and the devil. This is how we receive forgiveness. This is how we receive justification. This is how we are accepted as daughters and sons of the Most High God. Because Jesus went through what we should have. So when we trust in him, when we put our faith in Jesus, we receive what he has obtained for us. But what the world intended, what the evil one intended, to wipe Jesus off the face of the earth, that didn't happen, did it? As I said, this is how he won. The devil thought he won because he killed God's son. But in his death, as I have said, sin, death, and the devil were defeated. It is, of course, called Good Friday also because this isn't the end of the story, is it? We don't have Good Friday without Easter Sunday. The resurrection is the proof that sin, death, and the devil are defeated. It's the proof that Jesus is not just a man, but he is God in the flesh. It is proof that when we put our faith in him, we can receive forgiveness. We can have peace with God. It is all through what Jesus has done. So it is a good Friday. It is a good death. There is often, as some of you know, I'm a fan of science fiction. One of the things that you often see in short science fiction stories is the old time traveler type story. You know, if you go back in time and change something. And it's amazing how many authors want to go back in time and save Jesus. They miss the whole point. Jesus was never lost. This is what Jesus intended. Jesus went to the cross willingly. He was the and is the creator of the universe. He could have stopped it at any time. As he's going through that punishment, as he's going through that suffering, as he is bearing the curse of his Father, he could have stopped it. He had the power, yet chose not to use it. That's how much God loves you. That's how much he loves me. That's also how much he loves everyone out there. However, we shouldn't forget how the story on Friday ends. It ends in darkness, doesn't it? It ends what appears to be hopelessness. I invite you to just think about how the disciples felt at the end of that Friday. Think about how Mary, his mother, felt. Think about how the women felt. And it's not just that Friday, it's all through the Saturday as well, until the sun sets Saturday evening and they can start to prepare. But it's still then. It won't be till the dawn of Sunday, the dawn of a new week, that they will find out what has happened. But Jesus rests in his tomb. To the world, it appears that evil has won, that sin, death, and the devil are victorious. Maybe it appears that Jesus wasn't the Messiah after all, that he wasn't the Son of God. But as I said, it doesn't end on Good Friday. Good Friday is always tied to Easter Sunday. But it is good to reflect on that burial, reflect on that time of darkness. We all go through times of darkness, don't we? Times of darkness are part of the package of being Christian. But we go through those times of darkness with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit within us, knowing that even though we go through a time of darkness, there is an Easter Sunday ahead. There is a resurrection coming. It just takes some time. And in hindsight, that time will look short. Praise the Lord. Praise God who adored us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die for all of us. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can we please stand for the next song?